So it's really cool how God moves. Because this instant that we just experienced with Tara just goes right into what I want to speak about. And it's not even necessarily healing, but it's a life of pursuit. So that's pursuit. I was reading, and I was listening. I have a lot of time in the car, so that's when I listen to the Word. And I was going through Proverbs, and the word pursue jumped out at me. And the King James uses follows, but they're basically the same word. But for whatever reason, pursue, that word put a new aspect to it. Got my mind thinking, okay, what does pursue actually mean? You know, I think we all probably have a general idea of pursue or follow. But what are we really, do we really have the understanding? I love going through and looking up Hebrew and Greek, and I look at a dictionary. I'm kind of geeky like that. But I like words, because words mean something. I think that's why I liked music, and I still do love music, because I like to know what the words say. The riffs are cool, the drums are cool, but I was always the guy reading the sleeve. They don't do that anymore, but I was always the guy that pulled out the sleeve with all the lyrics and read along, because I want to know what it says. I want to know what it means. And most of the time, it wasn't very uplifting, but I still wanted to know. And I'm trying to transfer that over to the Word. I'm doing better than I was. But the verse that got me on this subject was Proverbs 21:21. You'll see I actually have very few verses today, so that's a change for me. But I still think it's going to be good. Proverbs 21:21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." So initially, like right off the bat, I see we are what we pursue. And you can take that into any area of life, the world, Christianity, I don't care what it is, you are what you pursue. You look at any great athlete, anybody who's reached the pinnacle of their craft, whatever it was, they pursued that with everything that they had. And they reached amazing heights, they did amazing things, but it was because of this drive and this pursuit. And so we're going to go and get some definitions here. So, like I said, pursuit and follow. King James uses follows, and that's where I get my Hebrew from. So, follow, to run after, usually with hostile intent. To chase, out to flight, follow after, hunt. So keep that term in mind, hostile intent. Because I thought that was pretty interesting. So Webster's dictionary for follow is to pursue in an effort to overtake, to seek, or attain. So there's action being done here, correct? Webster's for pursue. To follow in order to overtake, to find or employ measures to obtain or accomplish. So everything is describing you're going to overtake something. But what kind of effort is put in to overtake something? Right? If we want to be the best at what we do, no matter what that is, what kind of effort needs to be put in to overtake that goal? If I want to be the things that God has told me I can be, what kind of effort am I willing to put in to get there? And like I always say, this is never a have to, but it's very beneficial for me. It's very beneficial for me to pursue after God. right? I like the synonyms for pursue. We're really getting deep here. The synonyms for pursue are bird dog. Anybody ever heard that term, the bird dog? I love that term. I used to pheasant hunt a lot, and so I got to kind of watch this in action. I love to pheasant hunt, and I mostly love to watch the dogs do what these dogs did. Just amazing. They get on a scent, and there's nothing getting them off of that scent. They go. They go and go and go and go and there and there and there, and then they turn around backwards, and then you think they're going crazy because they're just all over the place. They couldn't possibly be on a bird. But lo and behold, and I especially loved pointers, because all of a sudden, bang, that thing is stuck, and he got it. Now, whether or not I hit it is a totally different story, but that dog did its thing. I actually had a dog, a very good dog, but he would just get so disgusted with us that he would just go home. I remember I missed two, and that thing looked at me, like literally, I'll never forget it. He just looked at me and just wandered home. And it didn't matter how hard I yelled and screamed, because I wasn't done, but he was done. So I was done. But it's there's an intensity here, right? This hostile intent. It's not that we're trying to be hostile towards God, but in that term is an intensity. There's something different, because oftentimes when I hear follow Jesus, I think of the movies where everybody's just kind of following behind them and kind of just plugging along, right? We'll get there. But with this word pursue, and that's why it clicked in me so well or so much, is because there's a different intensity to it. Think about something you love to do, or you loved to do, or whatever, or somebody who you admire who is good at something. What is it about them? It's their pursuit. It's that they don't let things distract them. I think that's why the word says don't get so focused on too many or too focused on too many dreams, too many visions, too many, because we need to be focused on one thing, because we can get too distracted. As much as we all think we can multitask, I don't think any of us are all that good at it. Because you're pulling your attention away. You may be getting things done, but are you getting things done as well as you could? Right? There's a lot of things I want to do. There's a lot of things I really want to do, and they would be really cool, beneficial things. They would even be beneficial to the kingdom. But I'm not called to do them right now. And if I did do them just because I wanted to do them, I wouldn't get the blessing out of it that I would if I was called. Because maybe somebody else is supposed to be there at the moment. Maybe whatever it is. And sometimes we got to search this stuff out because, Lord, it's good. It's good. Why wouldn't I do it? I got myself in one of those situations, and I'm still getting myself out of it. Because it was good. It was a great, there's a lot of good things that could come from it, but lo and behold, I didn't have time for it. You know, it's not that it was a bad thing, but the Lord knew what was coming, and he knew I wouldn't have time for this particular project, and that's not my truck. It's not my truck. It's not. It's a very different thing, but it's not my truck. So this intent, this mindset, this effort, how do we translate this over into our walk with Christ, over into our relationship? Because there's a different intensity when something is on the line. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. So this is David. He has his 600 men. They're with the Philistines at the time. And they were going to actually go fight Israel with the Philistines. But all the other Philistine kings said, not going to happen. They'll turn on us. They'll kill us. Send them back. Because he had befriended one of the Philistine kings. I forget who it was. And so they sent him back. So in that time where they had left to the time they had come back, I think it was the Amalekites came, took everything they had. Women, children, goods, everything they had. And so this is where we pick up that story. And David inquired of the Lord, 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He answered, pursue, and you shall surely overtake and surely rescue. So one interesting thing there is David went to the Lord even when these extreme situations, even in this extreme situation, it was his wife, it was his kids, it was all of his belongings, it was all of his men's stuff. Of course we're just going to go, right? But it's very interesting that he went to the Lord. Well, it's just food for thought. It's probably a whole nother sermon. But the one thing I can say for David is when he went to the Lord, things went right for him. Because I guarantee he didn't go to the Lord about Bathsheba. But, you know. But when we go to the Lord, but David had an intensity for the Lord. Even though through his mistakes and through all the wrong things he did, he still had a heart after God. David should have been killed multiple times for breaking the law. But he was a type and shadow. He was a type and shadow of God's goodness. He was a type and shadow of this relationship that was to come. But I guarantee when the Lord said go, there was an intensity with these men. They were going to reclaim everything that was lost. They were going to take back everything that they were owed and probably then some. Because I guarantee they weren't going to let the Amalekites off the hook. And they didn't. But there was an intensity there. Put yourself in that situation. You have something that you love very dearly taken away from you. What would you do to get it back? What lengths would you go to? A very easy one is my children, my wife, just like David experienced here. Watch out. I would probably do most anything, to be honest. That's my flesh. I would probably do most anything if it meant saving my children and saving my wife. So, if I put myself in that context, the question comes up is, how hard do I pursue the one who loved me first? It's only because of him that I have this love for my children. It's only because of him that I have this love for my wife. It's only because of him that I love life at all. Because without him, I was a very miserable person. And this isn't condemnation. You've heard I say it all the time, but this is not condemnation. This is the challenge. Because before when I heard this, I would just shrink into nothing. Yep, I'm just so worthless. I can't live up to that. I can't accomplish that. I can't put in whatever you want to put in. I can't. And then I didn't. Weird. What was I pursuing? Mediocrity. I was as mediocre as they came. Looked good on the outside. Man. You know, you just, God bless good friends. But you get comments like, man, I just thought you were going to do so much more with your life. It's like, how come you see that and I don't? How come other people see? How come we can always tell somebody else what they should be doing or what God has planned for them? But we ourselves never, I don't say never, but we get in these places where I could never see that for myself. Why? Why do we allow ourselves to get to that point when we know who God is? When we know how much he loves us? When we know, I mean, we're all born-again Christians here. We know what Jesus did on the cross. We should all know what that means, what that covers, what that entails. But why do I doubt it? Thankfully, I doubt it less and less, but I still have my things that I'm working on. But it's, where's my drive? Where is my pursuit? I mean, I have things that the Lord has told me that, yeah, you could do that. And that was his words, you could do that. He didn't necessarily say you will do that. He said you could do that. Because there comes a point in my heart where I have to say, you know what? I'm going to go along with what you say. Because there's always a choice there. I can say, I could do that, but I'm not going to do that. I can shut that down really easy. Really easy. It's amazing how quickly I can shut down the Word of God. And I know I'm not the only one. But in those situations, in that situation, and doubt wants to creep in and self-worthlessness and all this other stuff, but it's no, no, no. Sometimes you just got to say no, the power of no. No is a very powerful word. No, that's not who I am. See, that's the difference between me now and me then. Then that's who I was. Because that's who I believed I was. And nobody else was going to talk me out of it. And I had a lot of people try. But that's just who I was. This is going to be me. Tragedy was going to be my life. That's what I would hear in my ear. Tragedy is going to be your life. I was like, wow, that's comforting. I have a lot to look forward to then. But really, that's what I heard. It wasn't my spirit talking to me. It was just the person that I became. I'd gone down this road so long and dug in so deep that that's just who I was. That's who I was in the flesh. That's not who I was in the spirit. That's not how God sees me or saw me at the time. But that's how I associated myself. So what is on the line with our relationship with Christ? I'll say everything. Everything. Because I can walk this life out in mediocrity, or I can walk this life out in all things, and we'll get there. But 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Now, if you came to the Thursday night classes, you would know propitiation at its base means satisfaction. Jesus recovered. Jesus meant every requirement to satisfy God. He covered it all. God no longer looks at us as sinful, worthless. He no longer wants to destroy us like back in the Old Testament and start over. And that's because of what Christ did. He met all the requirements. He was the fulfillment of the law. Covered everything. He appeased everything. That's why now we can go boldly before the throne. You know, the old covenant, the Israelites, what they went into the inner room once a year. I think, I'm pretty sure that was it. And if you didn't fully cleanse yourself and do all the rituals, you would instantly die. They would tie a rope to your foot so they could drag you out in case you did something wrong, because you were in the very presence of God, and God cannot allow sin in his presence. So they literally tied ropes around their legs, and if they did it wrong, drug them out. Man, thank God I live now. Thank God I live under a new covenant. Brings me a lot of peace. But we have to understand and we have to accept that this has all been done for us. If you don't believe it's not been done for you, then you're just going to keep struggling. Then our pursuit goes somewhere else. If I don't believe God is a good God, I'm going to go find something else that I think is good. This is all inside. This is all in the Word, the importance of the Word, the importance of, that's why I beat relationship. Like, relationship is my thing. That's my thing. Every pastor, every speaker, every one of us has our thing that God has really revealed to us. I know other things, but relationship is my thing because that's what changed everything for me. It wasn't that I got healed. I did get healed. But what is it in the sense that somebody prayed for me and my arm grew back and then I believed? No, it's that I finally discovered that I could have relationship with somebody I didn't want to ever come close to out of fear and out of anxiety and out of I'm not worthy. The revelation of Jesus is the express image of God. When you see Jesus, you see God. Changed my life forever. I can't tell you how many times I'd heard that, but when it finally clicked, when I finally got that revelation, I can look to Jesus to see who God is, and Jesus is good. I can look at Jesus and know exactly who God is. It's not a mystery. None of the, I'm going to say, true life that I'm experiencing right now was done on my own. Anything that I am experiencing right now is because of pursuit. And I can tell you, it hasn't always been like intense pursuit. I'm working on that. I'm working on this, and that's why this sermon spoke to me so much, and that's why I loved writing this one up, because it's speaking to me. Like, there needs to be an intensity in my walk with the Lord. There needs to be an intensity in every one of our walks with the Lord. And it's because it's good. I just can't stress enough that when we're walking down this path with the Lord, it's good. It's just plain old good. Yep, you go through the hard times, but you come through the hard times even better than you were off before. That's good. I can walk through those times in peace. I don't have the anxiety. I'm not dealing with depression. I'm not, like, things are pretty good. Shh. Just kidding. Things are good. Not that there's not troubles. Not that there's not things I have to deal with. But my life 10 years ago and my life now are not even comparable. And it's only because of Jesus Christ. Yet, I still find ways to not put him first. I still find ways to seek other people or to want other people's opinions. I still find ways to shove him aside. And that's what I want to change. And that's where I want my mindset. So when we were on vacation, back to the bird dog, seagulls. Seagulls are vile creatures, man. Just, you take out one chip, and these things are bird dogging you, man. They are on you. And they call their buddies, and the fight starts, and God forbid you drop something. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so what I started doing, because Millie was extra hyper that day, and so what I started doing is I'd say, "Millie, bird dog him." And she looked at me. She didn't know what that meant. So I explained to her what bird dogging was. So every time those things got close, I'd go, "Millie, bird dog him." And there she'd go. She'd just be running in circles, chasing these things off, growling and barking at them. Like, it was great. But there was an intensity there, a really cute intensity, but you got to lighten things up sometimes. But that's what my desire is for myself. And I want to desire, and it's my desire because you're part of this family, is this, I want this for everybody in here. I can't do it for you. I just really wish Christianity was you got saved and everything was just easy. The whole Bible was downloaded in your head. I understand every word it says. Even the weird stuff. Like, I get it. I don't have to struggle anymore. I have every answer. But the funny thing is, we do have every answer. Are we willing to pursue? Tara, are you willing to pursue? Because it's going to be beneficial. Every one of us in here, no matter what we're going through, are we willing to pursue this over anything else? Over anything else that's popping up in this world, are we willing to block that out and say, "No, I'm pursuing Christ, I'm pursuing God, I'm pursuing my relationship with Him"? Because that's where true life is found. That is where true life is found. True life does not look like the world, nor should we look like the world. That is not true life. True life is walking in relationship with Christ and walking out His will and purpose for your life. That's true life. And that can be achieved here, and I don't care what anybody else says. Matthew 6:33. But seek first. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here we go, seek. What do I want? Because here's the thing, I know what I do know what He desires for me. It's bigger than me, it's overwhelming. It's hard for me to like grasp. But I know aspects of what, I'll say I know aspects of what He has for me and what He wants for me. Do I believe it? And it's no different for anybody in here or anybody listening. Do you believe what the Lord has told or said about you? Bottom line, because it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Do we believe that all things will be added unto us? One of my favorite verses, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted us all things. 2 Peter 1, 3. You can keep reading if you want. That's a good one to study out. But 2 Peter 1, 3 says, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. It's not through what I do, it's through who I know. And that works the same way in the world. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. We can easily apply that to God. Because when I know God, I'm growing in God. And I know more. You can't not have relationship with God and not grow. It's impossible. It's impossible. But it's through that relationship that brings about all things. Me sitting down and doing nothing will bring nothing. And I don't care, like, I don't care what it is, if it's in church, outside of church, whatever, wherever your heart is. If your heart is to start helping people, go volunteer somewhere and help somebody. Plenty of places that need help. Shelters, food, what are they called? Food shelves. Thank you. Struggled there. But like whatever it is, step out. It's amazing what happens when we get out of our own way and just start letting God work through us. And he works through us because he wants to affect people. So if I never get out of my chair, I'm never affecting people. So where's my all things? There's always potential for all things. But I got to get up. I had to get up. Yep.
If it's at the store or at my work, somehow, some way, he does when it's really in my heart.
Yep.
To want that.
Because he's faithful. Yeah. Yep. Because sometimes we don't know what to do. Right? Sometimes I don't know how, like, I have in my heart, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. He's faithful. He will bring somebody across your path. He will bring an opportunity across your path. Are we going to grab hold of it? Right? And if we miss it, man, just repent and Lord, give me another chance. He will. He will continue to give you chances as long as you keep asking for chances. The minute you stop, the minute you quit, what's he supposed to do? Because he works through you. He works through me. So there has to be a relationship to know, all right, Lord, yep, that's from you. And man, sometimes it's just okay to go do something. Just to figure something out. Like if you're completely lost, go to the food shelf, stack some cans, fill some bags. Who knows? Maybe there you'll get the revelation of what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe there, in that total just, I don't know what I'm doing, he sends somebody across your path, right? God can use anything. It may not be his best, but he can take what you're giving him and turn it into his best. But we got to give him something. I have to open myself up for something. So the one thing I noticed, and that was with the first verse, Matthew 6, righteousness. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pursue righteousness and grace, and you will find life, righteousness, and grace. But this righteousness, I think sometimes we can be thrown off by righteousness. What is righteousness? And sometimes righteousness can overwhelm us when it doesn't really need to. Righteousness. What? Well, I can't possibly be the righteousness of God. Yes, you are the righteousness of God. You are, and it has nothing to do with you. That's the best part about it. And that's the part we need to grasp onto. Because any time you hear, well, you can't attain that. Well, I know I can't attain it. It was given to me through the cross. But so many people hear, you can't attain that. You know what? You're probably right. And that's this lie. The lie is that you have all of this, yet the lie is you don't have any of it. Adam and Eve. Perfect example. They had everything. They needed nothing. They walked with God. And he twisted the story and deceived them. It's deceit. It's deceit that says you cannot be righteousness. It's a lie. You are the righteousness of God. So what is righteousness? I mean, the easiest definition is you are in right standing with God. That's just like the easy. You can get more technical and more detailed if you'd like to and search it out, and I encourage you, search it out. Dig it out. Righteousness. I'm in right standing with God. Or even Webster's Dictionary gives a really good definition of it. Webster's Dictionary says, acting in accord with the divine or moral law, and I'm going to say divine or moral relationship, and then it says free from guilt or sin. That's in Webster's Dictionary. I didn't have to look hard. Free from guilt and sin. That's pretty awesome. If you are being oppressed by guilt and sin, you're not walking in the righteousness of God. You're walking in deceit. These are the simple things that we need. These are the simple things we need to know about God. He no longer sees me as a sinner. Do I sin? Yes. But he's not tallying them. He's not counting them up. Because I know that I'm the righteousness of God. And I know all I have to do is repent. So you know what, Lord? I was wrong. I'm sorry I believed that instead of believing you and your word. And I'm going to walk with you and your word. You are good enough because of Christ. Somebody needed to hear that. You are good enough. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, even those really close to you who tell you you're not. You're good enough. You're so good, and he loved you so much that he died for you. Pretty awesome. Just meditate on that stuff. Meditate on it. Let it sink in. Man, does he love us. He looks on us with love and compassion because of Christ. Thank God for Christ. Thank God that separation is gone. Thank God I can go into the holies of holies and not be struck dead. Thank God I don't have to sacrifice animals to appease. All that did was appease. It didn't do what our covenant has done. It didn't do what Jesus did. It was a type and shadow. But thank God for, just thank God for this covenant. If nothing else, thank you, God, that you paid the price for my sins, that you paid the price for me. Don't let preconceived ideas hinder your walk. I know how it is from our youth. Doesn't matter what you come up in. There's always somebody who's got something. And it's amazing how those seeds can take root. You need to perform. You need to do this. Well, you're sick probably because you're doing this. Well, whatever. Well, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be in the position you're in right now. Yes, let's laugh at that, please. Because it's such a lie. But unfortunately, a lot of religion can do that. And we don't need to go down the who's and what's and why's. Unfortunately, just preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible isn't good enough for some. But we know better. We know better. Now, whether or not we accept it and walk in it is up to us. But we do know better. Even at my worst, I knew better. I knew better. I did. But I had just gone down such a road that, man, it was just a lot easier to just lay there and get beat up. Just what it was. Not proud of it, but that's just what it was. It was easy. It's really easy to be depressed. just is. Yeah. It's really easy to be negative. Yeah. It just is. Like when I was in a band and I was writing songs, man, it was really easy to write negative songs. So easy. It just is. Like, thank God, because I'm getting looks. Thank God, and hopefully not everybody has experienced that. And not everybody has to experience that. I don't want you to experience that. But man, it's really easy. I mean, how easy is just sit down and, oh, my coworker, blah, 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 blah. Or my pastor. Just kidding. It doesn't matter. So, I'll close with this. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to believe him. For he who comes to God must believe. That's what faith is. Faith is belief. I believe. When you received Christ, you believed. You believed that he was Son of God. He came to this earth as a man. He died for our sins and rose again. That's what you believed. If you can believe that, you can believe anything else. There is no physical evidence of that. But there was a prick in your spirit. There was a jump on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, if you can believe that, you can believe anything else in the Word of God. And without faith is it impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that God loves you so much that he just wants to bless you? He's a rewarder. He blesses those who seek him. But my goal here and my thought here is don't turn it into works, because that's not what it is. This could easily go down the works road, I think. It's about relationship. Period. As we grow in relationship, blessings come. It's just the natural part of relationship with God. As we grow in that relationship, nothing but good is going to come. Because he's a good God. He will not let you down. He will not leave you hanging. He will not help. He will provide. Knowledge, wisdom, whatever you're seeking, pursue it with everything that you have. It comes down to belief. And then I want your thought. And this is my thought right now, is Lord, what am I truly capable of? In this life, because the next life is something way different. But in this life, I challenge you this week to meditate on this. Lord, what am I truly capable of? And when he shows you, don't dismiss it. If it's too much, if it's overwhelming, let me tell you, it's God. But Lord, what am I truly capable? You can ask these questions. Lord, what am I truly capable of? And man, when you get it, pursue it. And I don't know what area of life, I don't know where everybody is sent and what everybody is supposed to do. But whatever he shows you, you start pursuing that with everything you have inside of you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just, again, thank you that you are so, so good. And your thoughts towards us are good. And your plans towards us are good. And you want us to succeed. You did everything you had to do for relationship. You paid it all, you gave it all, and Father, I pray for revelation of that in each and every one of our hearts so we can look at you and just say, yes, Father. The doubt is removed. Our belief and faith grows, and it's just, yes, Father. Yes, Father, Tara is healed. Yes, Father. Yes, because you're good. And Lord, I just thank you as we go out through this week that more and more opportunities are just going to continue to come. As you reveal what we are truly capable of, you're going to give us opportunities to grow in that. And I just pray for a drive right now in each and every one of us to pursue you, to pursue your word and pursue your goodness and your love and your grace and your mercy, because it's all there. All things are available to us, Father, through you. And I just thank you for all these promises. I thank you for this week, Lord. I just pray safety and protection over everybody here. And we just look forward to the next time we get to meet. In Jesus' name, amen.